pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. It's celebration time in the Human Library audio podcast journey called You and I with Rashmi Shetty, as I reach an important milestone, hosting my 100th guest today. It's International Women's Day around the corner too, and our guest today is really special. Neha Bagaria, the founder and CEO of Jobs for Her, India's largest platform to accelerate women's careers. Jobs for Her has over 3.5 million women registered on its platform, 10,000 plus companies, 2,000 plus mentors, and 800 plus learning partners across India to enable women to start, restart, and rise in their careers. Neha founded Jobs for Her in March 2015 after taking a 3.5 break in her own career when she had her children. Prior to her career break, she worked at Chemwell, a biopharmaceutical manufacturing company based in Bengaluru, where she was involved in the fields of HR, finance, and marketing strategy for their facilities in India, Sweden, and the US. Before she moved to Bengaluru, Neha was the founder and CEO of Paragon, an educational startup based in Mumbai to bring the advanced placement program to India. She graduated from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania with honors in finance, marketing, and management of information systems. Neha has been listed in Forbes India's WPAR Trailblazers list of 25 groundbreaking women achievers as a game changer and innovator who is shattering stereotypes, and was also featured by Deccan Herald as 19 changemakers to watch out for in 2019. She was also featured as the 10 most impactful women in tech 2020 by Analytics Insight. Neha is an avid traveler and enjoys adventure sports like skiing, scuba diving, and hiking. She is also a closet artist and dancer. Listen in as Neha shares her amazing journey, some insightful takeaways for women in general, and for women returning to the job space in particular. Hi Neha, welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Neha, I'm super excited because you are the 100th guest, the 106th episode, but the 100th guest. And I've been such a huge fan of yours and the platform that you have created.
Sure. Thank you, Rashmi. It's a real honor to be your 100th guest on your platform. And thank you for building such a great platform.
You know, Neha, when I read about you and I saw you on LinkedIn as well and we connected, I was so excited that you agreed to be a part of this podcast journey of mine, because what you do with women and help women with, especially restarting their careers, I thought was magical. But before we get there, I would love to know what little Neha was to the Neha Bagaria the world knows you today as.
Well, Rashmi, the little girl Neha grew up in Bombay. I'm very much a Bombay girl. Grew up there in a pretty big extended family. And, you know, life seemed to be on a particular expected path where you study hard, you work hard, you raise a family, and you also continue working hard. And in fact, the unexpected path was that I was the first girl in my family who was allowed to go to America to study for my undergraduate. You know, I studied hard to be able to get into a college of my dreams, went to the Wharton School for my undergraduate. And that was really a big game changer in my life, because when I went over there, I saw, you know, a very different side of expectations from a woman. And it made me realize how else life can be. So soon after I graduated, I actually started my first venture. It was called Paragon. It was an educational startup. And it was to bring the advanced placement program back to India. And for me, till then, things were still, you know, as per the expected path. And then marriage hit. And that's when the first life stage changed my life, you know, and I moved to Bangalore because I got married to a Bangalore boy. So actually, I had to shut my venture down, Paragon, because it was a very physical startup in Mumbai. And I, instead, there was a big opportunity from a learning, growing, contributing point of view at my husband's family business, which was in pharmaceutical manufacturing. So I graduated in finance, I started venture in education, and then here I was, I jumped into pharmaceuticals. But I enjoyed that journey. I did that for 5 years, never thought I'd stop. And for me, the biggest unexpected path that came up was when I decided to take a break in my career once I had my kid. And that break lasted for 3.5 years. And I'm very thankful that I took that break because, one, I really got to enjoy motherhood in its fullest form. Two, I realized that the best gift I can give to my children is by me working. And three, I also realized how difficult it was to get back to work, which is finally what prompted me to start Jobsaha soon after.
Oh, okay. One sec, Neha. So here, what I find very interesting is you had a startup of your own, but then jumped on to pharmaceuticals because your husband was part of it. So the shift when you did you stay on the same line or you just adapted to what you had to do here and you got onto it?
Well, luckily, I'm a business student, so that helps, right? When you traverse from between different industries, it doesn't really matter what you're selling. The same business principles apply.
Okay.
That helped hugely from a shifting of the industry's point of view. You know, today at Jobsaha, we are more in the HR domain. And again, business principles apply, you know. But what was difficult was getting used to being part of a very large organization after, you know, being the heart and soul of your own small startup. That took longer to get used to. And the lessons that I learned by being part of a larger organization is what is helping me today in scaling up Jobsaha.
Okay. And then you consciously took a break because of motherhood. And when you decided, you said one of the things was you wanted to give to your children the fact that you were coming back to work. Now, very rarely do women see that as a gift. Many people feel that, okay, they go through a lot of guilt when they have kids and after that getting back to work. How did you have that mindset that going back to work would be a gift for the children?
You know, I realized that those 3.5 years that I was a full-time mom, I realized that I had started placing a lot of my own ambitions on my children's little shoulders. You know, because this was my job now, this was my work, like I felt like the results of it had to be perfect. And to expect that from, you know, these little babies is very unfair, frankly, for them. And that is why I realized that actually, if I wanted to be a better mother, I had to be a happier person. And for me to be a happy person, I needed to be working. But don't get me wrong, it came with a huge amount of guilt. Yeah. I mean, even after starting Jobsaha, for many years after that, like I myself constantly battled with a lot of guilt, a lot of fear, a lot of biases. But I feel like it was important for me to go through that journey too, because it makes me realize what other women are going through.
So I'd love to know the genesis of that platform and how did you even think of something so huge?
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't think that I was creating anything huge when I started off Jobsaha. And it's been almost exactly 8 years since I founded Jobsaha. It was a very simple problem with a very complicated solution, but I was determined to find the solution because I knew this was a problem that we had to solve for the sake of our women, for the sake of our families, for the sake of society, for the sake of companies, and for the sake of our economy. And that is why I started Jobs for Her, specifically to get women to restart their careers and to figure out whatever they need to be able to get back to work. Once I started Jobs for Her and we kept growing and evolving over the years, it soon became clear that if we wanted to move that diversity needle and that gender needle and get more and more women to enter the workplace and stay in the workplace and not just stay, but to rise in the workplace, it was important that we build a platform that will accelerate the careers of women's journeys, no matter the stage of their journey. And that's where Jobs for Her, as you see it today, came about.
Oh, wow. The intent was so pure and the growth has been so organic. And when you are now looking back, like Steve Jobs says, and connecting the dots, are there moments where you really feel so happy that you did it? Are there moments when you look back and say, oh my God, did I actually do this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think every year I have looked back and felt like, oh my God, did this really happen? Because I remember when I started Jobs for Her, I myself was a woman restarter. Yeah. And somebody, you know, mentored me and said that I should imagine where we would be 5 years from today. And I sat in front of a whiteboard and tried to think about where we'd be in 5 years. The numbers that I put down there, I think we were there in less than a year. So I could have never imagined that even on our 8th birthday, we'd be talking about the fact that we have 3.5 million women on the platform, 10,000 plus companies, 2,000 plus mentors, 500 plus learning partners, and just huge number of stories and anecdotes and good wishes of so many women who have found career success through the platform. So it's actually incredible to go back in time and connect those dots and just be happy that we believed and we stayed on track to achieve the mission that we set out to. But I have to tell you that as a founder, no matter what milestone you achieve, by the time you achieve that milestone, all you can see is the kind of work that still has to be done.
For me now, from what you're saying, Jobs for Her seemed like more than empathy, it was compassion, because you were going through a similar journey. You had been through a similar journey. So when women come to you and talk to you about it, you know exactly what they're feeling, though their circumstances could be way different from yours. So once you started Jobs for Her and you realized that it is difficult, how did the market accept it, Neha? Was the market very forthcoming and inviting when you approached them with this idea in mind?
Well, no, it was. There was a lot of educating the market that needed to be done when we started. Yeah. And from all sides, you know, so from the women's side, we were shocked to find out that women were being advised to hide the break in their resumes. Yeah, and we felt that that is absolutely unacceptable, that we're making women feel like they're on a back foot because of that break, right? Instead, we should make them feel proud and they should be able to go and flaunt that break and talk about the kind of life experience skills that they gained from it. Of course, from the company side as well, there were huge biases to break. You know, we had lots of companies telling us they don't want to hire mothers, they don't want to hire attorneys, they don't want to hire, you know, women sometimes. And like we had to really focus on the why you should hire women attorneys. And the way we could break that mindset was by making them realize how it's good from a bottom line perspective. Yeah, we didn't really go at it from a social angle to companies. We went at it from a completely economic angle. And I think that is what helped us really break those biases in companies. Then, of course, over some time, it started becoming a self-confirming prophecy, right? The more women got back to work and did well, the more companies wanted more women to join them.
Okay. So you started Jobs for Her sometime around 2015. I think last year you had put up that video or celebrating 7 years where you said a woman redefines herself because of the break, and that's what we need to celebrate. Personally, I found that a very beautiful statement, a very deep statement. Now, have women come back to you Because many, many women feel guilty for taking their break, feel guilty to leave home again to restart their careers. So in the midst of the different pools of guilt women are in, are there moments or stories where you can draw out as in, yes, this was the right moment, this was the right thing that we did, this was the right step that they took, where people have come back to you and spoken to you or shared it with you, or your own journey when now you look back and connect the dots?
No, I mean, we've heard of so many journeys of women who have gotten back to work that it's, I mean, that is frankly what has kept us going over all these years. Yeah, there's nothing that warms our hearts more than hearing about a woman's successful restart. And I mean, these stories have ranged from women who've gotten back to work after 6 months to even after 15 years. Like, for example, there was one woman who got back to work after 15 years. And she said, and the reason why she gave that she wanted to get back to work was because she felt that her son, for who she stopped working, is now, of course, a teenager. Because usually if you ask a woman how long her career break is and then you ask her how old her child is, it's usually the same. But she realized once her child grew up that the respect that the child had for his dad was just so much deeper than he had for his mom, even though his mom had given up everything so that she could be there for him full time. And she shared about how once she did get back to work, the type of discussions and conversations that she could have with her son really changed. Yeah, just because she was just much more aware about what was happening in the world, you know. So, for example, that woman, she had gotten back into a PR job. And when she got into a PR job, one of her first assignments was to figure out what, you know, what is required from this budget that is coming up. And she had no idea. But she took that back as a dinner table conversation with her husband and her son. And she just saw such a different, she saw them viewing her in a very different light. And, you know, the way people, especially people close to you, like your family views you or society views you, that changes how you view yourself. And then the confidence that you get from that sense of self-worth changes everything.
Yeah, that's so beautifully put. Yes, that's so true. For you, Neha, personally, how did that inspire you to make sure that this path is a path that's going to make a difference to a whole lot of
people? I think for me personally, I mean, I just felt that, you know, I've seen my mother's entire life journey. Yeah, and she is a brilliant artist who never pursued her art as a career because, you know, she felt that her only priority needs to be her children and her family. And finally, you know, when I saw the kind of positive impact that women were having in their lives by restarting their careers, the person who I started really, really pestering to start her art career was my mom. And after working on her for a year, I think, you know, of setting reminders on a phone to start painting, of like enlisting the support of my brother, father, her sisters, finally, she had her first art exhibition on her 60th birthday.
Oh, wow. That is such a beautiful moment.
It was absolutely incredible. And the person that she is now, you know, and she's had multiple art exhibitions since then. She's exhibited internationally as well. And just the person she is when she's actually painting or when she's exhibiting her work is of such a content, fulfilled individual, which is something that we, her children, would have never been able to give her. You know, the entire, like, I mean, Jobs Are Her journey is very, very deep and personal for me because I've seen the impact that it has to get back to work on a very, very personal level.
Yeah. This is so beautiful, purposeful, and meaningful, Neha. Because one question that comes to my mind here is about women in general. Is it the wiring? Because this is not something which is only India-centric. Globally, this is a question, this is a guilt, this is a journey that many women take. And the way the market views them also post a break is very different. But over the years now, 7 years that you have been in this space and making a difference to so many different women that you have met, have there been moments where you paused and you realized that things have definitely shifted? Have they shifted at all? Is the first question. Have you noticed the transition happening, and is it really happening,
Oh
or is
my
it
God,
not happening?
it's amazing, frankly. The first shift that we saw in this transition happening was that in the first year, the person who heads my sales team in JobSaver, she and the person who heads the delivery team in JobSaver, both of them, their names are Gayatri and Pritha, they are employees number one and two of JobSaver. Yeah, and they're still with us for the last 8 years. So they've been through this entire journey together. Now, the first year of Pritha's job as a salesperson was to just get companies to come and post their jobs for free on the platform, but hire women who are on a break. Yeah. And that's it. So the first full year, every conversation that we had with companies was to convince them why they shouldn't be hiring women on a break and to come and try out the platform for free. The first shift that we saw, and this is what I said, right? When once companies started hiring these women and saw what a great talent pool this is, by the time the first year was over, they had started paying us to reach out to these women. Okay, so that was a great shift that we saw. The next big shift that we saw was that it wasn't, for the longest time, it was more the MNCs who had specific diversity targets, and where there was a lot more sensitization done in these companies, around women returnees, women in general, et cetera, who were rolling out these returnee programs. A few years in, we started seeing that even startups and SMEs who had no diversity targets, they started rolling out returnee programs as well. Because they realize that this is a really important talent pool that they are losing out on. That was another great shift. But the best shift that we saw was really like last year, where until then, there's always been a demand problem. Yeah. I mean, the supply has definitely been bigger than the demand, where we are always, our biggest job is to constantly carve out more opportunities for women on a break, go and sensitize more companies and get them on board, et cetera. Finally, like in 2021, actually, we saw a shift happening. And suddenly now it became a supply problem because so many women on the platform were already back at work. We had created so much demand for these returning women, okay, that we were finding it tough to service that demand. Yeah. And that, was of course a big problem for the person who heads my delivery, which is Gayatri. But like I told Gayatri that let's wait a minute, moment, and first celebrate this moment that now suddenly we have more opportunities than we have women on a break on the platform. And then of course let's go into solving this problem. But no, the transition we've seen in the last 8 years has been really extremely encouraging, and frankly, it just charges us up to take on now bigger challenges and to solve them as well.
Wow, this is such a beautiful side of the market, because there are a lot more women cribbing on this side, saying that opportunities are less. Now, when it comes to today's scenario, Neha, with layoffs left, right, and center, how are you seeing the market trend?
Finally, when it comes to hiring, there are going to be, troughs and crests. Yeah. There will be some years where companies will be hiring like crazy, like what we saw in the last 2 years. And then there'll be some years where, say companies who had particular expectations from a growth point of view or sectors that had particular expectations, the market has not evolved in that kind of a way. Yeah. And because of which, there might be correction, there'll be and the sad part is, of course, when those corrections have to lead to layoffs. Yeah. But that is a reality of the market. I mean, we are at a situation today in the global economy where, we've had a pandemic and then we've had a war right after the pandemic. And there are a lot of sectors and companies where people were extremely bullish and grew to a very great extent, which they're seeing that they need to now, tone back on. This, however, is a blip, and there will be many blips like this in the future too. Okay. What we need to still be cognizant of is that while there are certain industries and certain segments where there is a slowdown, there are enough other industries which are still booming. So we need to constantly. So, for example, right now, if you see a lot of the announcements also that are happening, a lot of them are happening in tech. Yeah. And one of the reasons for that is also because tech grew at a crazy rate in the last 2 years. Yeah. And many of them also became dependent on external sources of funding. Yeah. which is what has, you know, dried up during this funding winter. But other sectors, we're still seeing a big boom happening there. Like, for example, BFSI is hiring a lot. BPO call centers are still hiring. Manufacturing, retail, pharma. We are seeing tons of jobs coming up in these areas. Also, what is important to realize is that, and that is why it's important for us to not be completely like, if you are a techie looking for a job, suddenly you should be open to taking on opportunities which are not just in the tech sector, but other industries that are looking for your skills as well. Also, whenever salaries become as crazy as they did in those 2 years, that should be a red flag for everyone. That look, a correction is bound to happen and it will come.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. In a way, the pandemic, as much as it hurt a lot of people personally, on the personal front and career-wise for some, for a lot of others, it opened up avenues that many people did not even see visibly till the pandemic happened. It was like the metaphor was nature, where nature literally cleared up her clouds. Even the clouds on careers and options and innovation and creativity came out. So when you notice the shift during the pandemic compared to what life was before, to during those 2.5 years, how have you seen the shift in attitudes of people, organizations, and the job market per se?
I think, frankly, when we look back at history, the pandemic is going to be the best thing that happened to women's careers. Yeah. In the short run, of course, it was definitely tougher for women. When, you know, schools were, especially schools being closed, was a calamity. And of course, everybody working from home, where everybody expected that if the woman was at home, then she had to, you know, she was responsible for all the household chores. And you saw a lot more women then burning out, not being able to manage, and dropping out in larger numbers, which is, of course, very alarming. At the same time, though, if you take a long-term perspective on this, there was also a huge opportunity that came out from the pandemic. And that was because of the kind of huge shift that we have seen in mindsets around flexibility. And flexibility so far has been the biggest barrier for women's careers. You know, it's only been women who've been asking for that flexibility. Companies are, you know, when they hear that a woman needs flexibility, like it's pretty much like a nail in the coffin of the interview. Also, many women feel like they cannot progress in their careers. They don't demand higher salaries, higher promotions because they would rather get the flexibility. Now that people have realized that flexibility can work, not only can it work, but it can actually help companies saving cost, suddenly everybody is open to giving that flexibility. And the people who are asking for that flexibility are also not just women. You know, men are asking for that flexibility. Millennials think that it's their birthright to get that flexibility. So this is really changing the entire women's career space, you know, where we're seeing it's not just about work from home jobs that are opening up, that also have opened up to a large extent, especially in meaty roles, which earlier were not available as work from home opportunities. But more than anything, even in regular full-time opportunities, just having a flexible mindset has really changed the game when it comes to women's careers.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But personally, for you, Neha, when you set out on this journey, what did you envisage? And today, when you're looking back on the 7 years of jobs for her, the 8th year now in March this year, how are you looking back at this entire journey of yours?
I think, Rashmi, when I look back at the journey, I feel like I entered a rabbit hole. And I mean, you know, the deeper I get, the more I realize how many twists and turns there are in this journey. Because, you know, it's I'm like sad and glad with the fact that we are India's largest platform for women's careers. I'm glad that we were able to achieve that, but I'm really sad that that's the state of affairs in our country where, you know, nobody has tried to build a really scalable solution when it comes to women's careers. It's surprising, right, that in India, the only career platforms that exist are really platforms that are built by men, for men, of men. And then it's no surprise that their user base of women will be, you know, 20% at best. There has to be solutions that will get women to take their careers seriously. Also, to be able to balance that, their work aspirations and their family aspirations. And for them to be able to traverse through this entire career journey, which is very different from a male's career journey. So where we stand today, I mean, when I started Jobs for Her, I started with the singular mindset of getting women to restart their careers. Once we saw the kind of traction we did in that space and we felt that, okay, this is now, you know, a rolling ball, we realized, okay, let's figure out why are women even dropping out of the workplace? How can they be supported to stay in the workplace? And also, how can we get women to rise in their careers? So today, if you look at it, you know, and that's when we change our tagline to Start, Restart, Rise, because depending on the different stage that a woman is in her career, we want to be able to support her career journey. And today, when I look at it, I feel like that's exactly what we need to look at, yeah, which is how is that woman's career journey evolving over time? And to recognize that that can also be a mainstream career journey. We don't need to think about just a steep climb in one's career as a typical career journey, which you will usually find in a male career journey. We need to look at the, you know, ups and downs and pauses and then restarts again as typical career journeys as well.
Very true, Neha. And the famous quote of Indra Nooyi of the biological clock and the career clock going parallelly.
Yeah.
And then as you move in your career, your kids are growing up, your parents are getting old. So here is this woman in the midst of it all because she's connected every which way. So how does Jobs for Her as a platform help women find themselves in the midst of all this confusion?
I think we've definitely become kind of category creators in this space, just because it's such an untapped space. And our focus in women's careers has really helped us in getting a very deep understanding of what their challenges are, and then putting our heads together to figure out what can be those unique solutions for these challenges. So as, you know, women's career journeys evolve, we will keep evolving as well. And sometimes people ask me, why is it Jobs for Her? Why can't it be jobs for them? Right? Why can't it be jobs for everyone? And I always say that the day we reach 50% women participation in the workplace, 50-50, sure, you know, I will make this jobs for them. It's just that research shows that it will take about 100 plus years to achieve gender parity in the workplace. So maybe not in this lifetime.
Okay. So when you say 50-50 to make it jobs for them, so it's very clear now that this is not going to be something that's going to happen very soon. What is the percentage now as per statistics that Jobs for Her has found out?
Well, sadly, India is one of the lowest when it comes to women participation in the workplace. We are at 20% women participation overall. In urban India, it's even lower. It's at 15%, 1-5.
Oh, really?
And compare that to the US, which is at about 55%, and China, which is at 60% female participation. And so that's the potential where it can be. Also, if you see male participation rates in India, that's at 80%. So that also shows you why this gender gap exists, correct? Because frankly, only with financial independence can you get that true empowerment that women need.
Insightful. And it's very true. So what is it that is not allowing India, because the way things are moving and India as a country is progressing, at least from externally, what is it that you think needs to alter or shift in women for women to find ourselves into the market space?
I think it has to be a complete cultural mindset shift that needs to happen, you know, and it needs to happen across the ecosystem. So we definitely need to get women to realize the importance of building your career. But for them to be able to succeed in that, we do need to change the mindset of families and society, where we are pushing women up and not pulling them down. Yeah, where we're supporting them and their careers, much as we have supported and built men's careers all this time around. Yeah. And of course, we definitely need mindsets to shift in companies, right? For them to realize that this is a great talent pool. We need to get investors to change their mindsets when they realize that, hey, women-led businesses is a great investment pool. So across the range, need the entire ecosystem to start now supporting women's careers as much as they have supported men's careers so far.
You know, Neha, here I remember, I don't remember verbatim, but there's a very beautiful quote given by Ratna Pataksha talking about how women are the watchdogs in the patriarchal society. So if there needs to be a cultural shift, she says that it starts with the women. So do you agree, since you primarily work in that space, that this shift that even you're saying that can shift or pivot the entire work scenario needs to start with the women, with the woman herself?
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't need to be waiting for any knights and shining armors. We need to be our own knights, and we can. I do, and especially if women get together to help and support one another, there's huge magic in that too. You know, we run a club called the Herky Club, which is a women leadership club, and that's a sister company of Jobs or Hers. And the kind of support that we've seen women give each other is magical. Yeah. So if we kind of, first of all, decide that, hey, this is important for us, and then we equip ourselves to be able to have the difficult conversations required to get the support of others, and have this tribe of women that are also pushing us up through the journey, we can all succeed.
Oh, wow. Okay. Can you tell us a little about Herky Club, and how did the idea even brew? Where did it brew, and how did it come into fruition?
Sure. So, you know, like I told you, that once we got into this rabbit hole of figuring out how do we get women to stay in companies, do well in companies, and then rise in their careers, we realized that we need a specific solution for women who are aspiring to become leaders. Yeah, because there's also, if you see in India, there's this big leaky talent pipeline where companies start off with, you know, 30% women at the entry level, but that drops to about 10% at the managerial level, and then 1% in the C-suite. So we wanted to, so while our getting women back to their careers was helping at the numbers grow at the managerial level, we wanted to figure out how do we get numbers to grow at the leadership level in the C-suite. And, you know, what are the problems that women face when they're rising to leadership, and how do we solve for them? And one of the things that we realized was really that women need, like, there was kind of threefold, you know. One, women need to network much more deeply, build much deeper and wider networks in order to be able to rise up. And they usually don't prioritize that, given the fact that they have two shifts running on any given point of any day, their, you know, day job and then their evening job, which is their family. So we had to figure out how to make that networking easy for women to do. Second, we needed to make sure that women were constantly learning and evolving, and especially any particular career roadblocks that women face, how do they learn how to find solutions to it? And thirdly, how do we get women to really showcase their achievements, you know, and brag a bit, like get out of the shadows, you know, and really stand for who you are. And the solution that we found for all of these three became the Herky Club, you know, where women can network with other like-minded women, where they can learn from each other as well as from a lot of different experts and, you know, coaches who come up, and we have different themes running where our particular career roadblocks, you know, for example, getting women to own ambition or create a legacy, or this, the theme of the month right now is about how do you handle travel as a working mom, you know. And third is how do we making sure that these women are constantly showcasing each other and themselves, you know. So we constantly carry LinkedIn live sessions with them. We write about them. We get them speaking opportunities. And we've seen it do wonders. You know, we've seen women telling us that, hey, you know, I was not sure about putting my hand up for this particular promotion, but now after hearing everybody's stories, I feel more confident and I'm doing it. We've seen women who sometimes even stopped their professional journey and decided to become an entrepreneur, okay, and said that, you know, we are going to take that plunge and take that risk and get out there. And we've also seen women, by the way, in this journey where they've said that, you know what, I'm going to like take a pause and figure out what my next career move should be, because I'm not sure right now. And that's been really magical to see through the club as well.
Wow. And as the women take a pause, Neha, in the last few years, a lot has shifted. Have you taken a pause and seen how what you set out for, where you are today, where the two meet? and where you're going to go ahead? Have you taken a pause personally?
Well, Rashmi, frankly, whenever we hear talk about our statistics and everything, and yes, I mean it does fill us with a lot of pride, but all I can see is where we need to go. Because whenever we reach a particular milestone, by the time we reach that milestone, we have our eyes set on the next one. So no, I don't think there's any luxury of taking a pause and reveling in past successes. All we really care about is the next problem and the next challenge, and how do we solve that?
And what is uppermost now for you to face, to overcome, and to give it to the women who need it most?
I think we need to broaden our horizons by also thinking about not just a job aspirant's needs, whether it's a starter, restarter, or riser, but also to think about what do women need from a holistic career and life perspective. Yeah, because when it comes to women, these two spheres are very interconnected, and if we can figure out how we can get women to have that kind of holistic success in their lives, that is what will give them the confidence to start their careers, restart in their careers, or rise in their careers.
Yeah. And when it comes to holistic, that's so true. Many of us stay with only a one-dimensional or a two-dimensional viewpoint. Taking a holistic one changes a lot as far as perspective is concerned as well. So when it comes to you, Neha, what is it that you will tell women? Because what you saw personally as a problem, you took it to a bigger level and created this platform. So creating a platform is not an easy job, but when you took those first steps to do it, to create it, what were you telling yourself? Because at that time, motivation needed to be more intrinsic. So how did you push yourself and what did you tell yourself to keep the entire move on and wake up every morning saying you're going to make a difference?
Yeah, not just me, right? My entire team.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the starting team is still part of Job Saha after 8 years, which is really big kudos.
Yeah,
It has been a lot
commendable
of,
in fact.
it's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But I really think what moves us every day and what fuels us and charges us up is the stories we hear from women on the platform, how it changed their lives, and how it changed the lives of their families and the people around them. And we feel that if we can be that channel of change, what more can we ask for, right? And frankly, we feel like this is the biggest gift we could also give to our country. Because if we can get our women to participate in the country's growth, then our country can grow by leaps and bounds.
Very, very true. So, as you're talking about this movement, I would want you to take a couple of steps back to the pandemic. It taught a lot of things to a lot of people. Many of us got into a forced pause. What were your takeaways from the pandemic?
I think the pandemic for me made me realize that this hybrid work situation works out for a lot of good reasons. One of the best ones was that the days I'm working from home, I can get just much more mind space, more thinking space, more looking into the future space versus the everyday firefighting mode that you're in when you're in the office. The art of working in a hybrid manner, of toggling both the deeper engagement that you get from physical meetings versus the higher productivity that you get from being online. That has been a really amazing learning, which we're really trying hard to keep up in this post-pandemic world as well.
And as we move towards the end of the conversation, three life lessons that you would like to leave us with.
I think one big life lesson is for women especially that we have to grow a really thick skin. There are a lot of people passing a lot of judgment about what you do, how you do, what choices you make, what decisions you take, and each person needs to figure out what works best for her in her particular life situation and family situation. And the other thing that I would definitely also say is that many times we feel that it is our decision when we decide that we don't want a career or we don't want to grow in our career. But sometimes you need to go a little bit deeper and figure out where is that decision coming from? Is that rooted in our upbringing? Is it rooted in societal expectations, which have now become expectations that we have enforced upon ourselves? So I think one, growing a thick skin for the external stuff and then going deeper on your internal aspirations are both very important for us to do.
We will. There's one thing with us women that we are scared to dream big. And this is the, we're going into the International Women's Day week. And I call it the Women's Week. I love celebrating everything that we women do. Is there something, Neha, that you would tell those women who are hesitating to put even that first step? Can I do it? The imposter syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely, Rashmi. First of all, in JobServer, we don't even call it Women's Week, we call it Women's March. And throughout the month of March, we have tons of different events and master classes and sessions lined up for women every year. I think it's very, very important for women to realize that one, it's never too late to restart your career or start your career or, get serious about your career. Two, if you're at a particular stage of your career where you feel you do need to pause or you do need to refuel, that's okay. A comma, it can be a comma in your journey. It doesn't have to be a full stop. And three, we need to kind of tackle and break a lot of the biases and mindset roadblocks that are holding us back, break through them, and then realize the kind of opportunities that are lying in front of us. Because, frankly, from a macroeconomic condition point of view, there has never been a better time for women's careers than there is right now. The kind of flexibility that all women have been vying for, the kind of flexibility that is offered today in this post-pandemic world has never been offered before. The number of companies for who their top goal is to hire more women, we have never seen that before. And the number of families that have realized that, hey, we would like to have that second breadwinner in the house. We would like to support our women's careers as much as we support our male careers. We have never seen that kind of support as we are seeing today. So we all need to get out there, and this International Women's Day, we need to promise that this opportunity that has come in front of us, we will grab it with open hands.
And like you said, Women's March. Is there something coming up special for Women's March that you would like to talk about here, Neha?
We do actually have a very special announcement coming up, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise right now. But stay tuned, do follow us on social media platforms. I'm sure Rashmi will also share it on hers, and you can find out the special announcement that we have coming up on our 8th birthday.
All the very best. I'm sure it's going to be another big hit for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rashmi.
As we move towards the end, is there something you want to tell women in particular, especially those who are now sitting on the fence, whether to move back to their career or they need to stay at home? What is it that women need to answer to themselves?
I think it's very important for women to know that it's never ever too late to restart your career or to start your career. No matter how long that break, it doesn't matter, because as long as you have your core education, your core skills, your core aptitude, okay, you just need to club that with the right attitude, and then everything is possible. So never think that, a pause needs to be a full stop. There's always a way to get back. That journey of getting back, though, will differ from person to person. For some, it might be overnight, but for some, it might take a long time. And during that journey, that person who you become is actually the more important than the destination itself. And it's important that you reach out to other people who also understand that journey. Talk to mentors, upskill yourself to be up to date with the newest technologies. Get that help from your resume point of view, your interview skills point of view. Get all the different tools that you need in your toolkit so that you'll be able to again get your career back. All of that is possible if you just put your mind to it and decide that this is what you want.
What you want, and that is a question I think every one of us needs to ask ourselves. And the day we find the answer for that and take the first few steps, the rest of it, I'm sure we'll figure out as we move. Thank you so very much, Neha, for your time and an amazing conversation. An honor and privilege to have you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. I've always admired the work that you have done for women and with women through your platform Jobs for Her. Best wishes. And I think women like you make such a huge difference to the world out there, to tell the world that when a woman sets out on a journey, life can be a lot better for the other women around her. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you so much, Rashmi. It was such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for the invite.
Likewise, Neha. All the very best on every step that you intend taking. Stay blessed. With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.